My dear parishioners, as I mentioned to you already, I had the chance to listen at length to some of the sermons by Bishop Sheen this past summer, and with all the driving, extra driving that I did. And I believe it was in his fifth sermon on the fifth word of our Lord on the cross that he talked about the false gods that human nature is prone to end up worshiping. In other words, putting ahead of God. And he was mentioning that to show how our Lord made atonement for all of the sins of mankind through his sufferings, his thirst on the cross. But anyway, he said human nature is prone to worship the false gods, goddesses of Bacchus, of Venus, and of Mammon. Bacchus, the god of wine. And we know how this is quite the downfall of many who put alcohol, but give it too much importance and indulgent. The goddess of Venus, those who make gratification, pleasure, sexual gratification, their false idol that they worship, where they put that ahead of the Lord God. And then the god of Mammon, to which our Lord alludes in today's gospel, those who make money and material things more important than serving God. Now, these things are not evil in themselves if they are done according to the will of God, that they're not made ends in themselves. Pleasure is not sinful or evil in itself. As long as a purpose is being fulfilled that God intended, if that is divorced from the pleasure, the purpose, then it becomes sinful. Then it's not being used. It's being abused. So in a sense, today's epistle and gospel are about the first commandment, about putting God first in our lives. I found it interesting that when St. Paul mentions all these sins, immorality, uncleanness, licentiousness, he's telling the Galatians to not worship the goddess of Venus. And when he talks about not giving in to murders, drunkenness, carousings, the god of Bacchus. And then, of course, our Lord's telling us not to put Mammon ahead of the Lord God. And there are many other false gods. I think one of the false gods of today, where people put it ahead of God, is the god of sports. And, you know, they live, breathe, sleep, eat their sport, whatever it is. I mean, again, sport not evil in itself. The body needs exercise, but when it is being put ahead of God, that's when it becomes a false god, an idol that is being worshipped. And why is it that human nature is prone to the worship of false gods? Because the true God is unseen. He's a spirit. And it's easy, if one is not prioritizing properly spiritually, to fall for the false gods. The things that appeal to the senses, the things that are gratifying, the things that please. And an interesting thought, I don't know if it's, I think it's an accurate one, but whatever God a human being worships, there's a real tendency for that God to take over that person's life. And you see it, you know, the more people worship at the altar of Bacchus or Venus or Mammon, the more they want more of it, not satisfied. And just a little bit of reasoning tells us that these things can never satisfy us. We were made for something bigger. We were made for the love of the one true God. But it's going to be that struggle because he is unseen. And we live in a world of so many sensible things that can pull us away from him. So in a sense, today's sermon, besides being about the first commandment, is also about priorities. Prioritizing. To truly strive every day of our lives to put God first. Didn't our Lord tell us what the two great commandments were? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, with thy whole soul, with thy whole mind, and thy whole strength. And second, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If we're going to be honest with ourselves, my dear brethren, we realize how far short we fail, how we fall. We truly fail to live up to that, but we have to try. That is what it's all about. It's a lifelong endeavor. It's a lifelong prioritizing. It's a lifelong effort to put God first. I said earlier that whatever God one worships, that God tends to take over what person's life. Is that true of the Lord God, the one true God, that if we worship him, that he tends to take over our lives? I think that's true. But isn't that a very good thing? The one true God cannot hurt us. He can only do what is good for us. And if he takes over our life more and more, that's a very good thing. You see, if we put God first, our life is in priority. And we do love our neighbor as we should. We see in our neighbor a fellow creature, somebody that God created as he created us. We see a person for whom Jesus shed the last drop of his blood. And of course we love that person for God's sake. Things are in priority. They're not disharmonized. Whereas, if somebody puts a false God first, not only are they sinning against the Lord God, the one true God, but they're also going to fail in true love of neighbor. That's what a false God does. He messes everything up. So, our Lord tells us today in the gospel about priorities. Seek first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these things shall be given you besides. Your Father knows that you need all these things. Isn't that tender, what we just read there or heard there? He's saying your heavenly Father cares for you. He knows you need things for your bodily sustenance, your bodily welfare. But don't put that ahead of God. Don't put it ahead of your soul. And I know in my own life, and I'm sure you've seen it too, when you know you have various challenges and problems, but you kept trying to put God first, it's amazing how many things fall into place, how many things work out that wouldn't work out if you weren't trying to put God first. Prioritizing, again. So when we catch ourselves worrying and fretting and getting anxious about the things we need for the body, food, shelter, clothing, safety, security. When we catch ourselves fretting, we need to pick up Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 33, and we will stop fretting as much. Maybe it'll even all go away. Well, maybe not all of it. We do have a normal anxiety about things, paying our bills, surviving. But Jesus uses this wonderful imagery. He says, can you make yourself taller by thinking about it or worrying about it? No, that's not going to happen. And then when we're worried about food, he says, look at the birds of the air. God provides. They do their job as birds. God provides. What about clothing? Well, look at the lilies of the field. They are more beautiful and more intricate and more full of splendor than even Solomon was when he was sitting on his throne arrayed in all of his pomp and glory. So the imagery there is just wonderful to help us not to worry so much. And again, perhaps I'm overusing the word, but perhaps it might not be a bad thing, prioritizing our lives. That's where our prayer life is so important, because that's where we make sure that we're putting a good prioritizing into our daily lives. Now, one false message that somebody could get from reading this gospel is to say, well, I don't even have to work hardly at all. I don't need to put myself out there because Jesus is saying that God's going to provide. That would be indeed a false interpretation. And I came across a sermon of St. Basil the Great related to this, and I'd like to share a few of the thoughts, and he titles it On Christian Labor. So, this trusting in God and prioritizing does not in the least imply idleness or sitting back and waiting for God to just hand us things. Let's listen to the words of this great bishop and doctor of the church. Since our Lord Jesus Christ says that the workman, not simply anyone or everyone, is worthy of his food, and since the apostle commands us to labor, working with our hands, the thing which is good, that we may have something to give to him who is in need, it is very evident that we should all work earnestly and well. This fits right in, of course, with the message of Fatima. The first penance for us to do is the penance of our daily duty. The sacrifice is inherent in our daily tasks and labors. Back to St. Basil. Nor is it fitting to presume that our desire of serving God gives us an excuse for being idle or for avoiding labor. Rather, it is a greater reason for effort, for greater labors, and for patience in afflictions, so that we also may say with St. Paul, in labor and painfulness, in much watchings and hunger and thirst. For this way of living is profitable to us, not only for the mortification of our bodies, but also because of charity towards our neighbor, that through us God may provide what is needed for our weaker brethren. So St. Basil is telling us not only work for the glory of God because we need to do this penance and, of course, to provide for our necessities. We have to do our part. He says, also work hard so that through your charity you can alleviate the needs of those who are weaker than you, less fortunate than you. Again, St. Basil. That you may have something to give to him that suffereth need, through which we shall be judged worthy to hear the words, Come ye blessed of my Father, possess you the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink. What need have we to dwell on the great evil of idleness, since the apostle has laid it down clearly that if any man will not work, neither let him eat? That's in 2 Thessalonians, the same epistle where he talks about the end of the end times, the Antichrist coming, and what happened with the Thessalonians. And remember, he had praised them highly, but some of them, they realized or thought, oh, the end of the world's right around the corner. Well, what's the point of working? What's the point of planning? And St. Paul condemned that. He says, I didn't tell you about the coming of the Antichrist so you could stop planning and become idle and wait for the end. That was not my purpose. And then he goes on to say, if a man will not work, let him not eat. That's the word of God telling us we must work hard. Just as food is needed for the daily nourishment of the body, so also does the body need work according to its powers. And many more good thoughts I could share with you, but I'm sure we grasp the main point there. And I couldn't help but think also of the evil teaching of Nazism and Marxist communism in this regard. I think one of the illustrations of this was above that terrible concentration camp of Dachau in Germany, where the Nazis had put for all those poor, starving prisoners to see, Arbeit macht frei. Work makes you free. And the evil fallacy in that is that they were telling them that their purpose was, of their existence, was to work. Absolutely wrong, because work is not an end in itself, it's a means to a virtuous end. And that's, of course, the teaching of St. Basil, St. Paul, and everything we read from the teachings of the church. It's a means to an end. I guess that's one of the false gods, you might say, erected by these godless ideologies that were so powerful in the 20th century, Nazism, Marxist communism. Remember how the communists would describe their society as the workers' paradise? Well, if it was such a paradise, why were millions fleeing from it any chance they got? And nobody was fleeing to a communist country so they could go work. You see, that whole concept of work as an end in itself was the tool or the false god that the slave masters needed to hold people in. And it does not, pun intended, work. Man has the right to private property. He does have the right to be rewarded for his labor. So even as we speak of work today, and there's obviously nothing about being idle in today's gospel, let's remember, as we work, it is a means. It is a means to sanctification. It is a means to doing good. It's a means for doing penance. Work like it all depends on you. Pray like it all depends on God. What a wonderful saying to help us with that spiritual prioritizing. So let us, on this 14th Sunday after Pentecost, as we listen to this beautiful gospel, this beautiful exhortation, recommit to worshiping the one true God. Yes, he is invisible, but he is no less real, and it is him that we strive to put first in our daily lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.